Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by badass businesswoman and host of Women of Impact, Lisa Bilyeu. And we're talking about how couples can set goals and roles to reach together. And I'm answering your emails. Topics include ways to figure out exactly what your needs are in a relationship and how to meet them with your partner. Why checking in with your partner regularly about the state of your relationship is crucial to being a healthy couple. What to do when you've got mismatched kink levels. And is there really such a thing as too much sex talk? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. Hello. Check out our website, Sex with Emily. You can find all the things you need to help you have better sex. You got lots of blogs and posts and things happening there. You can also find me on SiriusXM Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Stars 109 for even some more sex talk. And we have new segments. It's fun. If you want a free trial, go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. And you can always call us for advice, 888-947-8277. You can find us on all social media at Sex with Emily across the board. Happy New Year, everyone. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. And enjoy the show. Lisa Bilyeu was on my podcast. She's a dear friend of mine. And she is, how do I explain Lisa quickly, co-founder and president of Impact Theory, host of Women of Impact. And she's also initially the founder, co-founder of the billion-dollar company Quest Nutrition and built the entire company from scratch.
What's up, homie?
She did. And she impressed. So I talked about you before you were here. And I said that when I came to your party on Friday, I was leaving work. We were here late. And I walked in and it was a goddamn winter wonderland. Her house, I mean, really, I was like, oh, it's Christmas. Like, I felt it. It was a pajama. The invite did say pajama party.
It did.
And Christmas sweaters. Yes. I have neither.
You had neither.
And I was like, I'm a
but
Jew.
But let's face it, let's trust Emily to come in neither.
All right. I did come in either. But it wasn't that I wasn't supporting the mission. I was. But it was so many amazing women you got together and all the things and the people and the lights and just that you're a giver. And you're this woman, this friend that I've met that I was like, just like you're just from the heart. Like we connected right away. Yeah. And the kind of things that you're doing and bringing cool women together and being on your podcast, Women of Impact, I loved. And then you were on the show and it was like, we loved
Thank
each
you.
Other.
We did.
And we did talking about the toys. We talked. I gave you some toys last time. I'm wondering if you'd like to discuss those. Anything fun happened?
Have you explained the story?
No.
This is how
you tell
awesome
the
you
I have
are.
Not.
Okay, so I know all your listeners already know how awesome you are, but I'm just going to make it even more incredible and be the cherry on top.
Do it.
So I'm on your podcast, you're at my house, we're doing the interview, it was amazing. And then I tell you that I'm about to go on vacation for like 10 days. And you're like, oh my God, I should have bought you this toy, I should have bought you that toy. And I'm like, oh, don't worry. She's like, well, when did you leave? And I'm like, tomorrow morning. She's like, okay, I'm going to get you the toys. I'm like, it's like, what, 7 p.m. at this point?
It was 7.
And I'm like, no, it's fine. And so she's asking her employees, she's like, how do I get this to Lisa? And I was like, don't sweat it. You leave, I'm packing that night, and then I get a text from you like, all right, there's an Uber on its way and he's bringing you a package. And so literally, guys, I had an Uber turn up at my door with like this box full of just amazing toys that you sent, and I took them on vacation and my husband and I thanked you.
You're so welcome, because I heard the magic wand. So Lisa had so the magic wand has been around for, you guys hear me talk about it, 50 years. And initially, it was plugged into the wall, it plugs into the wall. But now it's wireless, and you were telling me that, yeah, but the cords and the thing, and I was like,
I had to take an extension cord with me.
Whenever she travels, she takes an extension cord to plug in the magic wand, and then one time, the electricity went out in a hotel room in London.
Oh, I forgot I told you.
And I was like, oh my God, wait, honey, you don't know. Like, it's wireless now. It's cord free. You don't need to live like this anymore. It's like if I see someone suffering somewhere, like if you, and you were not suffering, but it was almost like, you don't have to live like this anymore.
You changed my life, girl. Yeah, we actually did, for those people listening at home, we actually blew the fuse in our hotel room in London. And then the guy comes over and he's like, well, what did you do? And I was like, God, what do I tell him? So I was like, it was my hairdryer.
Right. It's
America.
Because that does happen, right.
Like, the American. It was the first thing that came to mind, because I was like, it was a 5-star hotel. I was like, I was so embarrassed.
That's what happens all the time, right? Usually it is the hairdryer.
Yeah.
But then I brought toys, and then it was just, because I feel like, you couldn't go away for 10 days on a romantic trip with your hubby without it.
It was a game changer.
I need to change it.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, you're a game changer.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're changing games.
Let's hope.
You're changing life. You are. So I came into the party, and I feel like I've gone there a few times. I'm honored to be there. And everyone's just like, tell me about what you've learned, because you started Women of Impact.
Yeah.
About just a few months ago. I was on one of your first shows.
You were.
Also honored. Check it out. It's video and audio.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about it, that first of all the women there have been on your show, or they're all just starting businesses, or they're successful in all different ways, and it's just love. Like how I always have that with my girlfriends, because I've really rid myself of the toxicity of friends. And I've never really been able to, I've had a very low tolerance in my life for women. Like right away, when I meet someone who's, if you meet a woman as a friend, because my friendships are like very important to me. I've got the girls, like they're my posse. And I'm like, if there's someone who is gossiping, let's say about something else, I know that then I'm the next person they're going to talk about, or they're really unhappy, or the victim mentality, or they're just, you know, when people show you who they are, believe them. And those aren't the friends, you know, that you want to have. And I think that takes time. You get burned a few times and then you just kind of try to find those people. So I feel like when I've gone to your house, it's so great because I know that there's, you put together amazing women. So thank you for that. Oh, and I was thinking in your, and in your show, you're such a great interviewer. She said, 'cause you interviewed me for an hour. And I was like, huh, how did you know that about me? And what a great way to spin it. And let me think a minute because I don't know how to answer it. But what have you learned? So interviewing all these women who have made impacts in all different fields, is there anything that you've noticed with these women that you've interviewed that have been like, that's interesting, I wouldn't have thought that all these women of impact, high achievers, or however you define it, is there something in a common thread?
Yeah, so the first common thread is they've all failed.
Oh, yeah.
Like every single woman in their story has failed. And then every single woman has had insecurities. And so it's like we look at all these people around us, like, or even just these celebrities, and we think, I wish I was like them. They've got it easy, or they're so amazing. But really the truth is they've all had the same issues. They've all had to overcome failure. They've all fallen on their face. They've all had moments of insecurity. And but they've all overcome them. And so all these little similarities I really do believe has got... excuse me, gotten them to be as successful as they are.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But the difference is they all have techniques and different ways of handling those failures, those moments of falling on their face. And so those little tips and tactics and tricks, I think, have opportunities to resonate with different people. And that's really my goal.
Yeah, it is true. It's true talking about your failures. I mean, yeah, I talked about that on your show as well, that's part of success, and it's more about how you get back up from all the failures. No matter how many times you fall down, how do you get back up? Was there anything with relationships with these women? Was there a common thread that you saw of women, like with dating or how they're finding it now in general, or maybe just with your friends?
Oh, that's interesting. Not really. I never really dove too deep into the relationship side of things. I am noticing more and more, though, that women are starting to work with their husbands or their boyfriends or their partners. And so that seems to come up more and more often.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a little bit of that. Well, that's what okay, so I also had to have you back on, not just because you're one of my favorite people, but Lisa was on the show, and she not only like started a little business with her husband, but like nose to the grindstone, kicked ass, and built a now $1 billion company in just a few years, right? 4 or 5 years?
It was 5 years.
Five years. And then they lived together and they still work together. And your advice about how you guys have really, my audience and I hadn't either heard someone speak about it in such a way that was so relatable that people have come up to me and emailed me like, I loved it. So I was hoping you could kind of share some of those tips because they're fascinating to me how you and Tom, your husband, Tom Billy, who also has a successful channel,
Impact Theory.
I use the mug. I got a mug. You leave our house with parting gifts and I use all of them. What can I
you
say?
You can't leave empty handed. No, Let's face it. I'm Greek. I can't help it.
Exactly. Right. So how did you, tell me about that, like some of the things that you guys do is just like, it's like contracts, but it's sexy, how they decide what they're going to do together, how they're going to live together and play together and
work together. It's funny because really the rules we have with our personal is really the same rules we have with our business and vice versa. It's like establishing your role and establishing what you're looking for from the other person. Because as I evolved from, I was a housewife for 8 years and then I became his business partner. So I went from super nurturing. I was the wife that was like, you came home, dinner was on the table waiting for you. He woke up in the morning, his gym clothes were already laid out for him, his socks, his shoes, everything. He got back from the gym and he had his towel waiting and his clothes for work. Like I was the housewife that, and look, we had decided as a couple, what are we doing, you know, in our future? What are we looking for as our goal? And then once we figured out what that goal is, we said, how do we get there? And our conclusion at the time was he was going to go out and be a businessman. He was going to try and earn as much money as possible. And I was going to take care of everything else. That way he could be fully involved in whatever he was going to do. And we broke down everything. Okay, what does that actually mean? Okay, it means food, it means clothes, it means bills. And we wrote it all out.
Wow.
So now he went 8 years of that. And then I started getting into the business. And I started in our shipping department with Quest and I built it up. And before I knew it, I had my first employee, then I had my second employee. I'd never been a boss before in my life. And we were getting ex-convicts because at the time our offices were in Compton. So we were getting ex-convicts. There was one specific guy. He was like 6'6" or something like that. I mean, he was huge. And I had to make sure that he knew who was boss because he couldn't be, you know, coming in late to work. He couldn't be taking advantage of me or the company. And I had to make sure I was setting those ground rules from day one. And so I had to harden. And so Tom went from seeing his wife be super nurturing to over a period of 1 or 2 years where I transitioned into being an entrepreneur and I had to harden, where now I was no longer putting his clothes out. I was no longer sensitive to small little emotions that maybe he was having. And so we had to sit there and really talk about, okay, well, I'm changing as a human being. Let's address this. And what does that mean? And so that's when we came up with the like, list what you're looking for in a partner. Don't even worry about them. So I said, what do you want from a wife? Like, don't even think about my own feelings. Just lay
when
out.
When you were already married.
When we were already married.
Because you guys have been together 18 years?
Correct. Okay. We've been together 18 years now. And so this was, let's say, 8 or 9 years into our marriage.
Okay.
He was used to me being a certain type of wife. And so it was like, okay, well, what? Now that I'm transitioning, what do you want from a wife? What type of husband do you want to be? And I did the same. What type of wife?
Did you go and write it yourself?
Yeah. So what type of wife do I want to be? And what type of husband am I looking for? Because once you can take away worrying about someone's feelings, someone's emotions, and you can be that honest with each other, then you can say, am I willing to do that? Because it doesn't mean just because you say it has to happen. Right? So it's okay. Well, you want a wife that's super nurturing. Am I willing to do that? Well, okay, I've actually changed as a human. I love business. I love this new venture that we're going in. So I'm not looking to be the stay-at-home nurturer anymore. And he's like, you know, look, babe, seeing how happy you are, I would never ask that. I would never ask for you to give that up. So now I have to mourn the wife that I used to have. It's okay
so
to do that,
yeah,
but you have to mourn it, because if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to start to get resentment. I know what you used to do for me, but what do you do for me now, right? Like, you hear that a lot.
All the time. I mean, because people change. Like, I'm always saying that couples are changing over time, but they never address it. And then 20 years go by and what happened?
Exactly.
But in the moment to moment, you're addressing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to address it. But again, just want to put emphasis on, it doesn't mean that one person's right or one person's wrong or one person has to do something versus the other. It just means you have to have that honest communication with your guard down, be super open, super receptive to each other and say, okay, how do we make that work? So he said he saw me, he's never seen me as happy as when I was in business. So he's like, I'm never going to ask that of you. But yes, I love having a wife that's making me food and laying clothes out. Who wouldn't?
Right. So I want that.
Well, I know. I want that too.
I actually need that.
Right.
So let's say that. But right. Okay.
So he said, so he had to mourn it. He had to mourn the type of wife I used to be, but also open his heart to the type of wife I'm now becoming. And look, the reality is, being Greek Orthodox, I actually really do value being a traditional wife.
Right.
So I struggled with the change.
Right. Right. It wasn't just him. You're like that. That was your identity also for 8 years.
Exactly. So we came up with a plan, going back to like, we deal with our relationship like we deal business. And I said, all right, babe, well, how does it feel for you if I make you your favorite meal on a Saturday and I make you your favorite meal on a Sunday? So now I'm cooking for you. I'm doing something nice. I feel like I'm a really good wife because I'm really delivering. But I'm not giving up who I really want to become, which is this businesswoman that now I'm starting to get a taste for that I love. And so we came to that agreement. He's like, great, babe. And look, if you can't cook on the weekends, I don't want you to stress either, because being in a relationship where like, oh my God, if I do one step wrong, then now am I going off, you know, against my word? Like, that's not fair either. So you have to do a little like balance.
So you really found a way to get both of your needs met. Now, can you give an example perhaps of some of the things that you needed from him?
Yeah, absolutely. So him becoming really into business, romance had gone away a
romance
little.
Romance too, right?
Yeah.
When you're building, yeah, entrepreneur, right.
You know, and he used to, well, before we either of us started in business, he would write me poetry.
Oh.
I was actually just telling somebody the other day that he learned how to play the guitar, wrote me a song, and then sung it to me. Like, that's how romantic he used to be.
Wow.
But again, we kind of sat down and said, that takes so much time, energy, and effort that if he's going to do that, can he still become as successful as he wants to be? And so we sat down and said, like, it just takes up too much time.
Right.
And so I had to mourn the romance side of it. But then we had to find a balance, because he went too far into the, you know, grind. I'm working every day and night, 7 days a week, you know. So for me, I had to go, okay, well, what's my role in this? I'm the one who's seeking the romance. He doesn't innately feel it anymore because he's so consumed with his work. And I don't take that personally.
Right.
Like, that's not about me. That's about something that he's found that he's passionate over. But I need to take responsibility because romance is important to me.
Yeah.
And so if it's important to me, don't be this person on the sideline that's just hoping for it.
Yeah, like waiting for romance to fall in your lap.
Right.
You can also bring the romance.
Exactly. So I lay out what that is for me. And if that is, hey babe, I need you to write me a card, right? It's my birthday. I don't want any gifts. I don't want anything, but I want you to handwrite. In fact, it wasn't a handwrite card, but the thing that I said to him is, I want you to personally phone up the restaurant and book the restaurant that we're going to.
For whatever. Pick the restaurant. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, I picked it.
Oh, okay.
I was very controlling like that.
I know what I want to eat.
I know, exactly.
You make the card. Right.
Now, look, we have assistants, so I could have asked them easily.
Of course.
But it was important that he phoned. And the thing is, I know about him is I know that he's actually quite forgetful. So I took his phone, right? Not trying, because you can test people. Now, the thing is, if I tested my husband's memory, he would have failed. And if that's a reflection of how much he loves me, well, then I'm setting myself up for failure because I know his memory is terrible. He would forget even things that are important to him.
Exactly.
So I know that it's not a personal insult to me. So I know he's got a bad memory. So I took his phone and I put in his phone, book birthday restaurant for your wife.
Right.
And I just set an alarm for him to do it. And so now his alarm goes off. He picks up his phone. He does it. And we've come together as a team for me to get what I want.
Right.
So it's not testing people. It's not checking like, oh, well, if they really love me, they'll make, book the restaurant. It's like, no, people are forgetful.
Exactly. And you knew about him that he was forgetful. So it wasn't like that would have been setting him up for failure.
Correct.
And I feel like what a lot of people do in relationships is they're putting these ridiculous demands on their partners that have never done anything like that, and they just want them to like do it for me. Like, just go ahead and initiate sex, even. That's not even that crazy. Or let's act out a fantasy. And then there's a partner going, I don't even know what that means. So you got to go to baby steps.
Like, exactly.
Like, sometimes we are like, why don't they ever bring home flowers? Or maybe it overwhelms them and they don't know what you like because one time you were sneezing over that one bouquet. And then, like, make it as easy as you can. Like, we just are issuing demands at people, our partners, and not really seeing them for who they are. There's just a lot missing in that.
Yeah, and I mean, I would just say be uber specific with the demand, right? Don't beat around the bush. Like, ladies or even guys, like, figure out what you really want. If you want flowers or if you want sex, just be honest with the other person because they're not a mind reader. Because is your goal to test them or to actually get what you want? Like, what is that goal?
Right.
To actually get what you want, then say it.
Exactly. Say it and get it. But how, and you were pretty clear on what, or did it take a while for you guys to, because a lot of people, even myself, sometimes I find when I'm looking for what I want, and I've done a lot of work on this, what I want in a partner, sometimes it's like I had to really sit and spend time. You're not going to write it in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we're going to be doing in the new year. I haven't even told Jamie about this yet, but I have something that I'm working on for everybody to be able to fill out what your needs, your values, your goals, like what you want in a partner, whether you're in one or out. So it sounds similar to what you guys did, but it takes time.
Oh my God.
Because we often just think, as women, sometimes we are very just reactive and we just fall into a role, but it might not be working for us anymore. And I know a lot of women who have had kids and they're like, God, I'm no longer that mom, but I want to go out and do something else. And I feel, and there's a lot of different ways mm-hmm. it can look. So just like a business to have couples like check in.
Yeah. And it's like, we want to feel good about ourselves. And the problem is, because we want to feel good about ourselves, we kind of wait for people to give that to us, right? Like, I'm going to feel good about myself if my husband comes home tonight with flowers. But I don't want to rely on him to feel a certain way in the hope that he knows that he should be bringing flowers home, So I'm like, okay, if I really want to feel good and I think flowers are going to do it, then I'm going to reach out to him and I'm going to say, baby, you know what would really make me feel good tonight? If you came home with flowers, because I'm really struggling. And if he doesn't, then have that conversation. Like, look, I reached out. I was very honest with you. You didn't come home with flowers. Now I'm going to be more reluctant to reach out to you and tell you what I want because you didn't reciprocate.
Right. And then just talking about it as it happens.
Exactly.
And not letting it build up. Now, some people would think, well, there's nothing romantic about this because you're having to spoon feed your partner what you want. And to me, it makes the most sense ever, because how y'all doing with that? Just waiting for your partner to kind of show up with what you want. That doesn't work that way. Like, I always talk about scheduling sex or scheduling, you know, date nights, because I just think, yeah, we are expecting our partners to be mind readers and just figure it all out. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work like that at all. So that is inspiring to me.
Thank you.
Everything about it. 18 years, yeah.
But in all honesty, when we first got together, if I had heard myself now, I'd be like, God, that sounds so unromantic. I would have been that person.
Right.
But the truth is, I wasn't getting what I wanted. And do you want to be disappointed by your partner? I mean, look, Tom doesn't want to disappoint me. And so if he was disappointing me without realizing it, like, the least I can do as the wife is give him the keys to the kingdom and tell him.
Exactly. See, that is a key point. That is a key point, and that is, I believe that no one's partner wants to inherently disappoint them. They don't want to be withholding. They don't want to not, like, do that thing you want in bed, or buy you the perfect birthday present, or be the right partner and show up at your family's dinner and not mess it up. Like, nobody's, if they are with you and married, they're not trying to fuck it up.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. And then it all goes back to communication skills. Like, people starting from, let's say there's a couple, and we have many couples listening, who've probably been together 18, 20 years. We hear from a lot of them. Where would you start if you're already there and you're like, we are already in this place? How do you, like, is there like a form they would fill out? Like, how would you have couples sit down and start a conversation they've never had about how to get, let's say, their needs met? Maybe they're not agreeing on how they spend their free time together.
Yeah. I would say timing makes a difference. So if you're having this conversation with your partner when they're really tired or when they're frustrated, it's like, it's the worst time. So making sure that you guys are super relaxed, both guards are down, because you can't come at it with an attack mode.
Right.
Because immediately someone's going to put their guard up and it's like, yeah, but you didn't do this, and now that doesn't get you anywhere.
Exactly. Start with the how it makes you feel.
Correct.
The I, not the you.
Right, exactly. What you're looking for personally, what would mean a lot to you. So I think language matters. So, hey, baby, this is something that I've really been thinking about. It'd make me really happy, and I think that you can bring it. You know, like, having those kind of words versus, you know what, you haven't done this.
Right.
You can lead to the same thing, but two very different approaches.
You can get exactly what you want, but when you put someone on the defensive, they have nowhere to go.
And the thing that Tom and I actually use a lot now is the word feel. I feel like that doesn't mean that it's true. Like, I actually recognize the emotion. My emotions could be blinding me right now. And this may be inherently wrong, but I feel like you're not showing me enough romance.
Right.
Okay? Well, he can say, but hang on a minute, I did this, this, and this. Yeah, I totally hear you, but I don't feel it.
Right.
Okay, why don't I feel it?
And then you
figure it out. Then you keep diving deeper, But in saying feel, it doesn't make anyone's guard up. It doesn't mean that you're attacking them. Acknowledging that it could be your own emotions in that moment that's misleading you, because right. We all know, especially as a woman, depending on what time of the month it is, your emotions are going to take over. So if we know that, I just lead with it. Like, look, I could be really sensitive right now.
Right.
And it's very possible. But I feel like I'm not getting enough attention, right, or whatever.
And no one can really argue with your feelings.
Right.
No one can say, no, you don't feel that way. You're like, this is what I'm telling you. I am feeling. You can't argue with feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone says, you did this, you did that, they could argue. But feelings is like, that's why it's a great way to lead.
Yeah. And then you could rebut that and go back and say, okay, so what would make you not feel like that?
Yes.
And now you're letting the person tell you back the answer, so the person listening can really absorb what they're saying and then act in accordance.
It's great. That's such a great way to put it, to flip it back. What would make you feel the opposite?
Exactly.
And then it could be flowers. It could be a vacation. It could be anything. Lisa Billy, this is all. Thank you for all your advice here. We've taken a break. I have to ask you the 5 quickie questions I ask every guest. Also, if you want to find Lisa, it's at Lisa Billyeu, LisaBillyeu.
Nice. Well done.
I know. Remember this. And at Women of Impact. And we're going to have all this on the show notes. And then here's the 5 questions. Ready?
Questions. Okay. I love games.
I know. I should give you a sex game. Do you guys want a sex game?
Hell
biggest
yeah.
Turn on. I know. Biggest turn on.
My husband.
Biggest turn off.
Oh, poop. Oh.
It could be poop.
It is. I don't know where that came from.
Something you wear that makes you feel sexy every time.
oh, my birthday suit. Nice.
Or your Santa suit, which are they? She was the cutest little Santa. Okay, go to date night activity.
Oh, talking.
I know, big talker.
We've been for like 9 hours. We've been and sat at a restaurant for 9 hours once. True story.
I love it. See? Oh, great minds. Something your partner does that gets you in the mood immediately.
Ooh. Kisses me on the neck.
Ah, love it. Thank you, Lisa Villier, for being here. This was a blast. I love you. I adore you. Everyone check out our podcast, One of Impact. You're amazing. You'll be back again. Thank you for sharing all of that. You guys, okay, thanks for being here. Check her out. We'll have all this in the show notes. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your emails. Okay, we are on to your emails. Love answering your questions. Why I'm here on this planet. If you want a question answered on the show, you can go to sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, and include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. I'm here with Jamie. She's going to read the emails. Thanks, Jamie.
Of course, always. So we have James, 39 in Montana, and he writes, "Hi, Emily. I'm a 39-year-old male that's been married for a little over 8 years, and I'm still very attracted to my wife. My problem is that I seem to be wanting more hardcore or dirtier sex. I've hinted to my wife and mentioned doing different things from time to time. She says things like, 'How could you find that attractive?' or 'I would never do something like that.' I still love her, but just need a little more excitement. On top of that, it's been over 2 years since I've had a blowjob, even though I give her oral all the time. Any advice would be appreciated. Thanks."
All right, James, here's the deal. I love that you're still really attracted to your wife. That's awesome. And I feel strongly that you can both get what you want in this relationship sexually, but I feel like how you're going about it just isn't working for you. So for example, just dropping on your wife that you want to try kinky stuff. Maybe you want to choke her, or you want to tie her up, or you want to, I don't know what things you mentioned, but when that just comes out of left field to someone who's never even thought about these things, she might just be like, "Ew, no, I don't get it." So there's going to have to be a warm-up kind of conversation. So because jumping right to kink, even in a relationship, when you're having sex with someone, they jump right to this, you know, kinky stuff. When it's new, you're like, "What? What are you doing?" So you have to start having a conversation with her, because it is your wife and you're going to have a long, happy life together. Outside the bedroom is when you want to have this conversation with her. And it comes from a place of curiosity and just really letting her know that you really want to have the best sex life possible for both of you, which means that you're both having pleasure, you're both getting needs met. And so, you know, you could just let her ask her, you know, what turned you on? What are you interested in sexually? You know, if you don't know, let's figure it out together. And you can also let her know about the oral thing that you just, you know, when it feels so great when she gives you a blowjob. It makes you feel really loved when she puts her penis in your mouth. And you could even ask her, well, what is it about that? You know, is there something about it that doesn't feel right to you? And then you guys can work on it. So this is a conversation that I encourage all couples to have often, frequently, and early on. So just know that you might not get all your needs met right away, but if you just start a healthy conversation about wanting to have a healthy sex life, I think you're going to be in a good place here, and let her come up with, you know, the things that she's into as well. And then you guys can build a sex life together that makes you both satisfied and happy.
Next, we have Siobhan, 23 in Connecticut. She writes, "Dear Emily, I have a problem that I think you particularly would be able to speak to for a number of reasons, primarily philosophical, but also physical. Making babies just does not call to me. After being around a few couples who adopted toddlers, I developed a strong understanding that I want to adopt instead of giving birth. However, my boyfriend, who I love deeply, is the quintessential baby-making type and wants to have his own kids. I fear that our relationship carries a fundamental incompatibility for the future. It makes me terribly insecure that I can never fulfill his need to have babies, and it makes me so empty to think my value as a lover is diminished by not wanting to bear children. I'm no young, but I'm self-aware. When my friends have told me that I'll change my mind, I find it belittling and unhelpful. Sometimes I just cry considering the inevitable heartbreak ahead, and I can't help but feel stressed that I should be keeping myself open to someone who's comfortable with adoption. Please shed some light on this for me. P.S. I'm literally about to do my Kegels with the intensity right now."
Oh, okay. Siobhan, thank you for this email. Okay, so first off, let me start with the fun part. I love that you're using the intensity. Happy New Year. It's a great New Year's resolution is to use something that's going to help you do your Kegels for you. I love the intensity. Okay, about the children thing. I think it's great that you're thinking about these things and that you're, you know, right now you're feeling like you don't want to have biological children. I do not think this makes you value any lower at all. I think that adopted children is definitely something that more and more people are considering all the time. This isn't something that you're going to be able to talk anyone into or talk yourself out of where you're at right now. I get that. But the thing I want to mention is, was this a one-time conversation with your boyfriend and he was like, nope, I'm only having biological children, and now it's made you kind of go into this tailspin? Because having a conversation with someone just once really isn't enough to make a huge decision on, especially since it's someone that you've been with and you're very in love with him. You're also 23, and I know, well, you feel very certain right now. We all don't know what the future is going to hold. I mean, I always knew that I didn't want to have children, but I was always open to, I thought, well, maybe one day, if I meet someone, then maybe I'll be open to it. You know, I'll feel like, oh yeah, of course, you and I should reproduce right now. That didn't happen to me, and I'm cool with my decision. I think this might be something that you continue to talk about with your boyfriend, since you guys are in love and things are great. And I don't think that you need to make a decision here and now. I don't think this is like you have to end it. I don't know how soon you're ready to adopt. You know, is it something that you're ready to do in the next year? You know, when we're in a relationship with someone, it's a really great time to practice really strong communication. So maybe this is just a really great conversation you guys can have in a very healthy way, like asking him more about why having a biological children feels good to him and what's that about, and, you know, why adopting is good for you. And if anything, it's going to help you guys communicate better and help you get clearer on what you really want here. So I think instead of future tripping to what's going to happen in the future and all these negative things, I would stay in this relationship for a little bit, have some more talks with your partner so you can make a decision that feels like it's based more on facts and where you guys are both at, rather than being impulsive and ending it all together. All right, Siobhan, thanks for the question. Keep us posted.
Okay, so next we have Jim, 37, in Canada. Hi, Emily. Thanks for a great informative show. My wife and I like to play with anal sex from time to time, but she's worried about diseases and infections. Hygiene is not a problem, but she's worried about using the same finger when touching her vagina and her ass, and also during intercourse switching between anal and vaginal. Is that really a reason for concern? Thank you.
Oh, Jim, I'm so glad you asked this question, because it's absolutely a reason for concern. Never go from anal to vaginal. That is just, you're gonna, you know, infections, bacteria, UTIs. There's a lot that can happen when we do that. So if you're planning on having anal that night or any night, definitely keep baby wipes by the bed. If you guys don't keep baby wipes by your bed, do it. It's great. It's great for all kind of sex cleanup. We love the DeoDoc intimate wipes. Or you can use towels. Everything you'll need will be by the bed. If you guys are using condoms, you do have to switch them out. So if you're having vaginal sex, you got to take the condom off and put another one on for anal. You definitely, you know, have to use wipes if your fingers are going back and forth, your penis is going back and forth. So you have to be sexually safe. And so you could even wipe each other down, hop in the shower in between activities, but you definitely do not want to go from back to front. That's how it goes. And that's a great question. And also a great reminder for a lot of people who are delving into anal this year.
Indeed. Indeed. Okay. And then we have Amanda. She's 27 in California. And she writes, hi, Emily. I haven't been so comfortable in the past with talking about sex and past relationships. I'm currently in a committed monogamous relationship. I'm trying to be as open about sex as possible, and I was wondering how often sex should or shouldn't be talked about. I struggle with knowing what is too much. I enjoy the sex we are currently having, but I don't want us to get stuck in a routine. Thanks for your help.
Hey, Amanda, that's a great question. I'm glad you guys are having great sex and that you're working on talking about it in this relationship. My personal belief is there's no such thing as too much sex. I mean, do you guys talk about date night too much, or the movie you just saw too much, or, you know, whatever you guys talk about? I think that sex should be right up there. Now, obviously, you're going to have to find your groove, you know, make sure that you are both comfortable talking about sex. And there's definitely a way to do it correctly. It depends if you're just like, hey, babe, what should we try tonight? Or if it's more like constructive criticism about your sex life. And if you've been listening, you know that I love the compliment sandwich. When you start with something positive, you know, about your relationship that you love, then you throw in something you want to mix up, and then you end it with another positive thing. I think that there's a lot of different ways to talk about it. Having your bucket list. If you don't want things to get bored, exchange bucket lists. You can have that ongoing. You can talk about things you want to try, fantasies, BDSM, role playing. I have a great book called Hot Sex, over 200 things you can try tonight with some great tips. You guys can listen to the podcast together. A lot of couples listen to Sex With Emily together, and then they just use me as a third party, and they're like, hey, Emily said this, or what do you think about that? And they stop the recording and they discuss it. It's kind of like I'm your you know, therapist in your back pocket. If you guys get into a good flow about talking about sex, you're not going to be worrying about, is this too much? Is it not enough? It's going to be something that if you do it right, that you're both enthusiastic and excited to talk about. So rather than worrying about the quantity, I would worry about the quality sex talk you're having, and then the rest will flow from there. And hopefully that means incredible sex. All right, that was fun. Thanks, Jamie, my awesome producer. You guys should listen to the SiriusXM show because she's killing it with me.
Oh, thank you.
It's so fun, you guys. We're loving it. And we're also still doing the podcast. We're not going anywhere. We love you all. Happy New Year. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, intern Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.